Welcome to the Success Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. I'm your host, Robin Bailey, back here with my amazing co-host, Al McDonald. Al, the summer weather is here. Have you been out on the bike?
The summer weather is here. It looks like it's here to stay, hopefully. And yes, of course, always look forward to some nice weekends to get out on my bike. And again, coming this August, it looks like the Great Cycle Challenge is back for another year. So I'll be signing up for that. And I'm sure we'll be talking about that going forward.
Most definitely. Well, Al, you've heard me say it here before. One of the great side effects that I didn't expect on the podcast was meeting so many great people and those turning into friendships, not only colleagues, but also friendships. And a couple of months ago, we were fortunate enough to meet Sifumi Osanake, and we've since built a really good relationship with him. And he recently gave us a fantastic introduction. So our guest today is Penny Farina, VP Human Resources at Ecobee. Welcome to the show, Penny.
Thank you. I appreciate the invite.
And I have to say, longtime user and fan of Ecobee. So this is great. I'm a big fan, especially when I travel and I can see what the temperature in the house is. And it makes me feel a lot better, especially in the winter months when hopefully the furnace never goes. So sort of peace of mind.
Great. Love to hear it.
So Penny, based on our first conversation, I would like to start the podcast a little differently than we usually do. For people who have not been on the podcast, we always set up what we call a chemistry call. Number one, to make sure there's chemistry with the person that we're going to talk to, so we actually have a conversation, but to learn a little more about the person and get the background. And the conversation was interesting, and interesting enough where this is where I wanted to start the podcast. But can you talk to us a little bit about your upbringing and how that's impacted your career?
For sure. So yes, my upbringing, I'd say, is like quite different to where I am today, working at like a large technology company in HR. I grew up on a family dairy farm in Eastern Ontario. It's been in our family for over 150 years, still fully operational. My brother runs the farm. So yeah, it is very entrepreneurial business. You are your own boss. 7 days a week, there are no vacations. There's no sick days. There's no sleep in mornings. There's no, I didn't really feel like it today moments, because you have animals that you're caring for and you're feeding, and it is your livelihood. So yes, very different growing up on a dairy farm to living in Toronto, working at a big tech company. Who would have figured?
At what age do you start participating in that whole being part of that farm family? When does that start?
Oh, such a good question. Basically from probably birth, but it's like, it's just a ritual. It's like you would go up to the barn every single day, especially I remember when I was little, that it's like, you know, you'd get home from school, you'd get off the school bus, you would have your chores to do at 4 o'clock. It's still like ingrained in me to this day of like what that schedule is. You'd start milking the calves at 5:30. My parents were definitely very nice and kind on the farm, that the chores that I had were like feeding the calves, feeding the cats, kind of some of those simpler things. But once you became a teenager, that's when you would start to do some of the more like heavy lifting and more machinery type jobs.
You know, when I look back at my own life and I look back at what the work ethic my dad instilled, and it was predominantly my dad, because I remember my dad saying, hey, if you want to dress like that and you want those extra pair of jeans, we'll provide you the basics, but you got to work for it. So I remember being quite young, being 11. And to this day, when I look at the company that we're running now, that work ethic and those values that I learned early on are still there. growing up the way you did, how do you think that translates into what you're doing now?
Yeah. You know, I think that's a great question because it's almost taken me like a long time to like fully think it through. I grew up in the life that I did where it was like very committed. Again, it didn't matter if you didn't feel good or you were sick or you felt like a break, you had to do it. But you also loved what you were doing. I remember as a child asking my dad, it's like, you know, if you weren't doing this, what would you do? And he was like, oh, you kind of got it wrong. This is my life. This is not my job. So it was just like finding your passion. So I'd say like the things that I would carry through, the grit and determination, that there are some days, you know, on the farm that it was wonderful. It was beautiful. It was warm. It was sunny. Everything was great. And then there's those really tough days too, that maybe it hasn't rained in a long period of time and your crops are not doing well, or there's a sick animal that you need to care for. It's the ups and downs. And I think it at the end, it really created this perspective for me. Life can sometimes feel like this roller coaster ride that you're on, but it's like keeping this calm and steady state is something that I would really take away. And then I'd say the very obvious part that it's like undying commitment and perseverance to see something through because you feel like you're like truly part of it. It's not that if someone in my family decided next week that they wanted to per se quit and give 2 weeks notice, that's just not a thing. So it's like putting up with the good and the bad and everything in between.
It is a different world. And we talked about on our first call, Penny, you grew up in Southeastern Ontario. I was in Southwestern Ontario and I also grew up on a farm. And I also remember, so my dad sold the farm when I was six, but I still remember even before that, I have memories of doing the chores, right? As a little kid, obviously only what you could do, like you just talked about. But then I also worked for many summers subsequently as a teenager on a dairy farm. And you're right. There are no days off. It's every day up at six. The cows do not wait to get milk if you don't feel like doing it and everything is there. It just has to be done. So I can definitely relate, but you're right. It absolutely creates a great work ethic and definitely makes you able to deal with some of the ups and downs. So I am curious, with this background in mind and the work ethic and everything we've talked about, can you talk about maybe a little bit what you think as a leader, the impact that you've had on those around you?
Yeah, the impact that I'd have would be interesting. I guess I can reply, but then it would be interesting to see like those around me, you know, how they would really answer this question. I would say the ability to spot potential and help people grow. I look back at the career that I've had to date, and I'd say that that is the part that I find personally fulfilling. It's like to see particularly a few people, you know, on the Ecobee HR team join and where they are today and the opportunities that I've helped them along the way. Of course, they have been a big part of their own success as well. So yeah, I'd say that the ability to spot potential and help someone grow. And I guess also probably like believe in themselves, I think is like a key part of it.
So if you spot that potential in someone, and especially maybe if they haven't spotted the potential in themselves, how do you go about trying to encourage, trying to build, trying to help them see what you identify in them?
What I would say is being able to like give people opportunities to like get out and try, because life is about learning and trying. And some days you're going to have the greatest idea, and then the next day, maybe not. The confidence in knowing that some days you're going to fail and that's okay. So I do think part of it is like the environment that you're in. One of the early sentiments at Ecobee would be like tinkering. So it's like you need to try a few different things to see what really works. And maybe the path that you're going down, even on an HR side, maybe that program is going to be excellent and you just have to kind of like get it out in front of your customers, so to speak, which would be employees, and, you know, get their initial feedback. I think a lot of times if HR could think almost like product managers, what does your customer base need and want and maybe not realize what they need and want and how you can take that forward. So I would instill some of those types of qualities in people. And I'd say with the successes and the learnings, it builds a lot of confidence in folks. And then you're kind of off to the races at that point. I've been in a very fortunate environment at Ecobee where we've always been growing. So as that person was up to speed on new and different things, there's always been kind of like a job ahead of them waiting for them to move into.
You said a couple of things there that I'm glad you mentioned. And, you know, one was giving people the ability or the right to fail, right? And I think there's this expectation that no matter what position you're in, whether it's the position of leadership or not, you always have the right answer and you can't get it wrong. But that's, as we know, just not true. People fail far more than they are successful. That's actually one of the things I love about sports, because I grew up in sports. It doesn't matter what sport you're in, you fail far more than you succeed. And I think that's a great way to be able to build that resilience and learning. So I'm glad that you brought that up.
Al, I wanted to jump on that point as well, because it resonates with me, because it's a position that our company is in, and we brought on some younger people. And for us, it's been really important to promote from within, give people the opportunity. But to your point, Penny, to let them know or have that opportunity or the ability to fail. No one is going to go out there and purposefully try to fail. They don't want to. But knowing it's safe to make a mistake and it's not going to cost you your job, it's going to be okay, especially if you let us know. As you were answering, I'm thinking about my own position. And especially this summer, my time has been really thin, how I'm spread, because I'm doing so many things. I'm trying to help different team members in different areas. And I imagine you've experienced that in your growth at Ecobee as well, that sometimes you get spread so thin, you've got so many things to do. How do you personally prioritize what to do first when it feels like everything needs your attention all at once?
Yeah, that's a tough one. And I think it could be answered like two different ways, depending on like, is this my home life or is this my, you know, Ecobee life? Because to your point, it does feel like you can end up getting spread thin. For me, I always think back to it's like, is this important or is this truly urgent? And I do think that people can fall into the trap of everything feeling urgent when that's not actually true. And in a very like objective way, like I'm not a firefighter. I'm not a brain surgeon. So there's many things that might feel urgent, but are actually not urgent in my job. And sometimes letting things sit and simmer, it is actually better. So I've looked back at my career and you definitely feel like you're on this like hamster wheel at times. If I just had that empty week, if I just had that rainy day, I would complete this and it would be 10 out of 10. It would be wonderful. And I remember thinking this when I joined at Ecobee, because it was like, I was the only one in HR and it was quickly growing and they needed a lot of things done on a short period of time. And looking back, it felt painful in the moment because it was like, oh, I want to do these things. And if I do it, I must be an ambitious person. So it's this like self-fulfilling prophecy that you create. But then when I take a bit of time and actually have those things live just on the important side of the list, I found when I came back to those ideas and those concepts, they were actually different. And it was good, because if I had have tried to implement something really quickly and maybe didn't have all the knowledge and feedback and insights, it would have checked the box, but it wouldn't have actually moved us forward the way that we were looking for. So I think that there, A, it's like asking urgent versus important, and then also realizing the value of it being important and it living there for a little longer and how it can actually positively affect the output. So that's what I would recommend for people to really think about, that time does sometimes yield a different result that could be better than your initial thought.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something that Al actually introduced to me, the old grid, right? Urgent, but not important, urgent. And you're right, it's really helpful. But you do have to consciously stop and think, okay, this one really important. Okay. And it's funny, I was talking to Al, and I used to take great pride in when I would travel, I would take a vacation and I'd take my laptop. And I remember specifically being at this all-inclusive resort. And I felt like, wow, look at me. I'm so important. I'm opening up my laptop and I'm conducting business while I'm on vacation. And then really, it's been this year where I realized, hey, the world's not going to end. Because to your point, I'm not a brain surgeon. I'm not a doctor here. I'm not saving lives with what I do. I think it's important. I love what I do, but it's not life or death. And I can actually trust my team and give them the opportunity to really shine in those moments. And you don't have to be everything to everybody. And I think once you realize that, you can kind of sit back and say, these are the important things I really want to accomplish. These can either wait or they can be delegated to the team. But I think if our listeners are listening to this, if you can look up that grid, it's super helpful, because again, there's probably only a couple of things in your day that's absolutely urgent. The rest can probably wait. or be delegated to some other members of your team that can probably help out. So it's a great point, Penny.
Penny, you have talked about your role in HR a little bit, but I would like to maybe dive into that a little bit more. Can you talk about, again, your role in HR at EQB, but also maybe for people who are in the field or maybe want to get in the field, can you talk maybe about what you think might be an important personality trait for someone to be successful in that role?
Definitely. So the first part of the question, I started at EQB 8 years ago. EQB was like a 75-person company. As I mentioned, I was the only one in HR when I started. Flash forward to today, we're 650 people. There's 25 people in the HR department. So it's a very different job in a great way. I joke to my friends and I say that despite that I've had the same employer, I feel like I've had like kind of four different experiences in that time. So yeah, it's been fantastic coming and seeing the company grow and be so successful and having so many great people that have been part of that in EQB, and in particular, you know, the HR team as well. So I'd say that the qualities that I would look for, it depends on what type of environment that you're going into. If you're aspiring for a story of kind of like this high growth, I would say that someone that has the ability to like flex and change and be nimble. One person on the HR team has been here from the beginning with me, and we often joke and say that our ideas that we had and our programs that we ran when we were 250 people, oh, they were fantastic. They were so good, but they're actually about the worst idea now if we were to try to continue that forward at 650. So this is kind of going back to the point of like being nimble and learning and changing and realizing that as the company is evolving, that you do as well. So love your ideas, but don't be so set on them that they have to be the only idea. I also think that's like the beauty of the job, that you get to like change, you get to learn, you get to iterate on what you're doing. Maybe it's kind of going back to my earlier answer around product and HR, that products evolve over time with the more information that you know. And again, I think many HR programs could be really successful if they took that same lens.
You hit on a few things there, and we obviously have spoken with a number of people that are in your type of role, and that theme of being adaptable, willing to change, willing to learn, willing to react has come through a number of times. Another one that has come up a number of times, and I'm curious if this is your situation as well, is how many of people in your type of role, I'm going to say fell into it, like came to it from a very different background. HR was not, hey, what I aspire to be, but I just kind of fell into it. And then it turned out I loved it. Were you in a different role and you said you were the first one? Did it just kind of develop that way? Or is this something that you really worked towards?
Previous to EQB, I've been in the HR field, but I'd say like even going from university and then into my first job, it did feel like a little bit of like fall into it. So I was very set in university. I wanted to be a lawyer and that was the path. And I'd written the exams and filled out all the applications and did everything that you should. And then right at the end, had this like moment where I was like, wait, do I really want to do this? Or did I just feel like I was on this path and being on the path made me feel like I had a good conclusion? So decided against it. And did a post-grad in HR. A friend of mine was like, hey, I think that this would be something that you're interested in. And when I got my first job, I worked at a recruiting firm and I worked there for 5 years. It was fantastic. Coming into the job, you kind of just think, this is my first job and hooray, they've hired me and now I'm a real employee somewhere. And I didn't realize until maybe like years after of how like formative that time was. So being there, it was a very small company, like 10 people. You really got to do everything in between. So again, it was this very much like learner type of attitude. We also worked with tech companies. So tech companies that just had got their first or second round of funding, and they were building out their team. Again, tech companies coming from the farm, not something I knew about, but you know what? Let's give this a try too. Because I guess I was on this path of like, I'll do things differently. So yeah, I'd say like that was how I got into it and then realized that the area of working in HR at a technology company, it is so nimble. There's a lot of change that is happening. There's a lot of flex as well in it. And then I was like, hey, this actually really suits what I'm looking for and where I'm ultimately wanting to take my career. So yes, by the time I got to Ecobee, I was firmly in an HR role, but like firmly in it in the tech startup scene in Toronto.
Well, again, another interesting theme that you just hit upon was how many people in your role that we've talked to started in a recruiting role, like with a recruiting firm. That's come up over and over again. So it's just interesting that you say that as well.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I think that it's like, again, starting in a recruiting firm can be very difficult. It's like 100 years when I had that job ago, that it was like LinkedIn did not exist. You know, you were cold calling people on the phone. It was tough. You would get hung up on and everything in between, you know, quite often. So again, I think this like early farming days of like grit and determination really shone through. Probably didn't realize it in my 20-something version of myself at that point, but it was that kind of like persevere and good things will happen. And it sure ended up that way.
It's funny you bring up the cold call because the cold call is coming back.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I've heard because people are so inundated on LinkedIn with getting messages. It's just so easy now to ignore it. So apparently the cold call is back in vogue. So we'll see what happens there. Penny, I found it interesting, the evolution that Ecobee has gone through. You feel like you've had a couple of different jobs, even within the same company. If you look back, and you can even look back in your entire career, but I imagine just at Ecobee, you've had quite an experience. What's the one lesson that you've learned along the way that you think everyone should learn at some point in their life?
Oh, that's a good one and a tough one. I'd say the lesson on surrounding yourself with people that you can learn from. And I don't necessarily mean more senior people. I mean, even being a manager and having a large team of people, it's very informative for me personally of like all the different personalities, what people are looking for, what people are trying to grow their careers in. So I'd say the people around me in so many different ways. So it's like me strengthening my skills of being a people manager, me strengthening my skills of being an executive member at Ecobee. And then I'd also say the people that I meet in between. I always think that it's interesting to sit down, to have a coffee, to maybe pick up that cold call from someone that it's like, you never know who you're going to meet in life. So I'd say that it's like the people and keeping an open mind of when people come and go in your life, it's like the impact that they've had.
Well, I love your answer. And it's what we're doing right here. We surround ourselves on the podcast with great people. We get to meet interesting people. You were the first person I met that grew up besides Al on a dairy farm and found your role successfully into your role in HR. And it's one of the reasons why I love having the podcast. It's one of those rare moments where we put away the phones, we turn off emails, and we get to connect as people and find out each other's stories, which is always so interesting. But I'll just give an example of just surrounding yourself with interesting people and learning. I operate off a Mac. We made the decision years ago to have Macs in the office and I couldn't go back now. I love them. But one day I forgot my mouse and I'm like, oh my God, I got to drive back home and get my mouse. And Stephanie, one of our younger employees, she said, you don't need your mouse. And she taught me how to use the trackpad. I mean, it's such a trivial example, but that improved my life dramatically because now I'm like, oh, don't have no problem. I can do all of this. And I mean, you're right. I mean, I never would have experienced that unless I Googled it, which never would have happened. But it's so great just having such a diverse group of people around you. Now, Penny, we've got to the point of the episode where we have a signature question, but there was a question that Al and I were both talking about that we wanted to ask you. But Al, I think it almost wraps into the signature question as well. So I don't know if you want to preface it with what we had talked about, being remembered, you know, that sort of question, because I think it ties into your signature. So I'll let you decide how we're going to position that.
I think it does. And I will get there. I did want to go back to your previous answer where you talked about surrounding yourself and learning from people. And one thing that I think I've learned over the years is you can meet someone and we all come away with a first impression, right? First impressions can be lasting, but they can also be very wrong because one thing I've learned is you get to know a person and it doesn't matter who they are. I've discovered that everyone seems to have one thing that makes them very, very unique and very special and that they're very good at or they're very passionate about that you probably would never have known about if you didn't get to know them a little better. And that's one of the things I think I've learned over the years is, you know, to dig deep and find out what it is that makes that person special. And very often it's not what you think it is. So So maybe that is a good lead in to our next question and our final question. Yes, I think I'll just go ahead and ask the question that we always ask of people, if you're ready for it.
Let's go.
All right, let's go. I love it. A society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. So can you talk about any of those proverbial trees that you might be planting?
Yes. Love the question. I think it's very like thought-provoking. For me, it's a story that is Ecobee. So yes, we are a successful Canadian tech company that makes really cool connected home items that live on your wall. But the story is actually like so much bigger. So the story is so much bigger because the ethos of the product is the environmental impact that it has. Not just, of course, like in your own house, Robin, you know, for your thermostat, but I'd say like being at Ecobee for 8 years and seeing just the monumental environmental impact in a good way that the company has had is the legacy that makes me feel so proud that there's all kinds of fantastic companies and places and jobs to have. But I feel that the job that I've had at Ecobee all these years has really allowed me to even like far beyond making a great impact in HR and employees' lives. But it's like what we're actually doing, like the ethos of the company. That's the tree. That's the tree that I'm planting. That's the tree that I'm planting for my kids and future generations and everyone in between. I'm very proud to say that our products at Ecobee, we have sold enough of them and have them installed that we could take the city of Las Vegas off the energy grid for a complete year. So just think of all the lights and glitz and glam that is in Vegas and the amount of energy that's created from all of that. To me, that is like far beyond even me myself, that I just feel like being part of a mission that is just like so much bigger than the job I hold or what exactly I'm doing. That is my tree. And I feel as being like a long-term exec member here at Ecobee for 8 years, actually the longest standing next to the founders, that's my tree. So I'm very proud and love my job at Ecobee.
That's a great answer. And I'm glad you shared that because I'm willing to bet as well, you know, I just went back to my previous answer before about, you know, once you get to talk a little bit further and dig down a little bit deeper, I am willing to bet that most people see the little Ecobee thing on their wall and think it's just a thermostat. But you just shared so much more with us. So I'm glad that you did that. And I'm glad I asked the question.
Every time I go and adjust the temperature now, Alan, I'm going to be thinking about that story. And Vegas is going to come to mind as well.
Exactly.
Good. We used to joke in the early days, you know, when it was tiny, we would pick small towns in Ontario and we would be like, hip, hip, hooray, we've taken Smith Falls, Ontario off the map. People would be like, I need to Google that. Where's Smith Falls?
Home of Brooke Henderson.
Yeah. It feels pretty awesome now to, you know, say Vegas because we all know Vegas.
Yeah.
As you were saying that, I was thinking about our own career because I know Al feels the same way as well. And there is nothing better than feeling good about what you do for a living. Like you're actually making an impact in people's lives. So Penny, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and thank you for sharing your journey. What's the best way for people to reach out to you if they have questions about yourself or what you're doing at Ecobee?
Best way to find me is on LinkedIn.
All right, perfect. Well, that does it for today's episode. We really enjoyed this conversation. As always, we hope you did too. If you have any questions for Al or myself, please feel free to give us a call or by joining the conversation on LinkedIn. And as we've seen here, success leaves clues, my friends. We'll talk to you next time.